7 years and in a U-turn supported the resistance like most Palestinians.
You have to remember why they had moved. The visit of Sharon to our very important and religious place for the whole Muslims.
Arafat's change in tone was enough for the Israelis to attack his headquarters, placing him under house arrest.
Well, this was a very strong message conveyed to Arafat and his people, that we are able to be there and to surround the place whenever we want, according, of course, to operational needs. I believe that Arafat understands this message.
Yasser Arafat remained under house arrest for the rest of his life. Despite his pleas to end the situation, even the United States ignored his requests. During this time, he developed cancer but was denied permission to leave for treatment. Eventually, his weakened body was transferred to a military hospital in France, where shortly after, he passed away on November the 11th, 2004. Later, laboratory investigations in Switzerland revealed that Arafat's personal belongings and clothes were contaminated with radioactive substances, and this meant that Arafat had died as a result of a biological attack. Now the second person present in the picture had been eliminated.
Forever love our prophet.
Forever.
Good morning to all listeners from around the world. You are tuning to Iran Radio Broadcasting from Tehran. I'm your host for the next hour. Inventions that emerge from the Islamic world include the discovery of Critic acid, Jaber ibn Hayyan, architecture, the minaret, the bridge mill, the vertical axle windmill, teaching hospitals, marching bands, early torpedoes, the guitar, the lute, the water pipe, also known as hookah, early attempts at gliding, algebra, the pinhole camera, the laws of refraction of light in optic, coffee, and more. Muslim scholar Ibn Haytham, known as Al-Hazen in Europe, who was born in 965 AD, formulated the scientific method and has been referred to as the world's first true scientist. He is also often regarded as the first theoretical physicist, making a significant contribution to the theory of light and optics. Additionally, he developed what is called celestial mechanics, which led to the eventual work of Europeans such as Copernicus, Galileo, Johannes, Kepler, and Isaac Newton. You are listening to the continuation of Iran Radio. We start off this hour's programs with Round the World with reporters. Reporters from around the world tell us what is happening in their corner of the world. Listen to fascinating reports from countries both near and afar. After that, we have For a Better Life. The program teaches excellent practical ethics and morals which we can use in our lives from the point of view of Islam. Our varied radio productions feature will be our final program this hour. Stay with us for the next hour.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Erubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Stories published by some Italian newspapers early this week about several groups of Israeli soldiers taking holidays in popular Italian seaside destinations have sparked political outcry in the country. Hundreds of soldiers belonging to the Israeli forces have been seen spending their holiday in luxury premises and hotels in the Marche region and on the island of Sardinia, resting and relaxing after having participated in Israel's genocidal operations in Gaza. The off-duty soldiers were allegedly escorted by Italian police during that period of rest.
What's happened over the past weeks with Israeli soldiers on a period of rest or decompression at our resorts after having committed war crimes is unacceptable. As Spain imposes entry ban on Israel's ministers, Italy not only provides luxury accommodation to the Israeli soldiers, but it even provides police escort services. It's the evidence of the Italian government's complicity with Israel.
Some Israeli soldiers who have refused to join the genocidal operations in Gaza have been jailed for their decision. This drift is taking us nowhere good. History will be the judge.
In Sardinia, pro-Palestinian groups have voiced their opposition to the presence of the Israeli soldiers, with some activists declaring, "We don't want war criminals on our island."
Meanwhile, a group of professionals from the Lazio Region Journalist Association gathered in central Rome, not far from Italy's government building, to hold a commemorative event for all Palestinian journalists who have so far been murdered by Israel in Gaza. The names of all the 250 slain journalists and media workers are being read out by the Italian colleagues.
Read out the names of the slain journalists in Gaza reminds us that a propaganda war is also in place, with Israel doing what it wants with the complicity of several Western states. Israel's deliberate strategy of murdering journalists is aimed at controlling the information coming out from Gaza.
The initiative was held as a national pro-Palestine demonstration is set to take place in the Italian capital, Rome, in early October. Max Civili, Rome.
resolution introduced by the Islamic Republic of Iran to the Organization of Islamic Cooperation entitled The Commemoration of the 1500th Anniversary of the Birth of Prophet Muhammad highlights the Prophet Muhammad as a prophet of mercy whose life embodied compassion, justice, and human dignity.
This declaration is not merely a marker of time. It is a call to reflection, to unity, and to renewed commitment to the noble values embodied by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. This is not the time for division. It's the time for unity. The challenges we face demand nothing less than unwavering solidarity and support.
Ambassadors from many Muslim countries like Lebanon, Oman, Pakistan and Afghanistan, as well as former ministers from Austria, attended the event. Apart from diplomats and politicians, religious and academic figures also took part in the ceremony, which featured an exhibition of the Holy Quran, traditional music and prayers.
The Prophet is an example is a mercy for all of mankind, not only for the believers, but believers and non-believers, Christians, faithful.
Iranian Ambassador Eshraq Chahomi stressed the enormous importance of the Year of Mercy as the world witnesses the genocide in Gaza.
Most pressing issue at the time is the issue of Palestine and the genocide which is going on in Gaza Strip, which is deplorable. And indeed, the Islamic Ummah should come together with a unified position, condemn such atrocities by the Israelis against the Palestinian people.
800,000 Muslims live in Austria. This is 8% of the entire population, which makes them the largest minority in the country. The birth anniversary is an opportunity to translate the values and the memory of Prophet Muhammad into practical dialogue across cultures and society. Dieter Reinisch from Vienna.
In Palestine, the school year began this week with more anxiety than celebration. Instead of focusing on books and lessons, families worry whether their children will return home safely. Military raids, arrests, and checkpoints stand between students and their classrooms. For many, even the schools themselves are in danger. In Assawiya village, a school sits under a cloud of uncertainty after Israeli lawmaker Zvi Scott from the Religious Zionism Party incited for its demolition, portraying children's education as a threat to settlers.
Recently, we were shocked to see a Knesset member inciting against our school, which stands as proof of the Palestinian people's right to this land. This secondary school was founded in 1944 and serves three nearby villages. Like so many Palestinian schools, it is under constant threat from the Israeli occupation, motivated by land seizure and an effort to obstruct education.
Teachers and students say they face daily harassment, from military checkpoints and raids to the fear of demolition. For students, the start of a new school year is meant to be filled with hope and learning. But here under occupation, the daily presence of the army turns education into a struggle for survival. Fear, checkpoints, and military raids seep into classrooms, disrupting the very right to learn.
The situation here is very difficult. We never know if we'll make it to class or be turned back. The army's presence creates fear and tension, making it hard to focus during lessons or exams. Many times, soldiers come into the school, and for weeks, they've tried to take over our building.
When we're at school, there's no sense of safety. Even during breaks, we're denied the chance to go outside. In sports class, if the ball goes beyond the gate, we can't get it back. We live in fear because soldiers surround us with weapons while we have nothing. But this school was here before them, older than their entire history, and that's why they want to erase it.
Education has long been a form of resistance, a way to preserve identity and hope despite occupation. But as Israel intensifies restrictions and incitements against schools, parents and children alike fear that the right to learn is being systematically stripped away. Here inside the school, the desks and chalkboards tell a simple story. Children just want to learn. Yet for Palestinian students, even classrooms are treated as battlegrounds. As this school year begins, their resilience is tested once again amid Israeli violence. Naqa Ahmed, Occupied West Bank.
Sudan is reeling from a humanitarian crisis caused by military clashes inside the country. WHO Director General Tedros Ghebreyesus delivered his remarks on the situation in Sudan this Saturday. He warned that famine is already confirmed in parts of the country, with over 770,000 children expected to suffer from acute malnutrition this year, alongside a nationwide cholera outbreak.
More than 260,000 people need urgent health assistance. 35 health facilities have been destroyed. There are 5,000 suspected cholera cases and 98 deaths. 130,000 children are suffering from malnutrition.
The crisis is most severe in North Darfur, where the paramilitary rapid support forces have maintained a siege since May 2024. Local doctors report that over the past week, RSF artillery strikes killed at least 18 civilians and wounded more than 100 others. Despite international pledges, the RSF continues to block humanitarian aid, leaving the population increasingly vulnerable.
As an organization, we have delivered medical aid to more than 11 health centers in Darfur, including Kelma Camp, the largest displacement camp, now facing a severe cholera outbreak with around 700 cases and 40 deaths. Across Darfur, infections exceeded 10,500.
The UN recently described Sudan as facing the world's largest hunger crisis, with aid deliveries severely constrained by insecurity and RSF blockades. In Al-Fashir and North Darfur, families remain trapped, struggling for food, clean water, and medical care. Local organizations are stepping in with what little they have, distributing food and basic necessities to curb the spread of cholera. Families in Al-Fashir endure RSF siege, where cholera spreads and children are facing severe malnutrition. Survival depends on aid breaking through the blockade, because this war is now fought not just with weapons, but with hunger. Abdullah Hussein, Khartoum.
Mohammed has once again topped the list of names for newborn boys in the UK. The Muslim community here say they are thrilled.
Honestly, as a Muslim, yeah, I'm so proud. Mohammed's name is the number one, not just in the UK, in the whole world.
Data from the Office for National Statistics confirms that for the second year running, the Prophet of Islam's name with this spelling was the most popular choice for boys. That's over 5,700 newborn boys in England and Wales in 2024, firmly overtaking the previous favorites, Noah and Oliver.
Since the events of October 7th, 2023, British Muslims have faced an unprecedented rise in the number of attacks and incidents of abuse. Having a Muslim-sounding name can expose individuals to discrimination, and yet none of that appears to have had any impact on the appeal of the Prophet's name among the parents here.
This is not new. Muhammad has been in the top 10 names for baby boys in Britain since 2016, and parents naming their boys after him goes back a long time.
The character of the Prophet, peace be upon him, as a mercy to the whole creation and as a role model to sort of address the needs and aspiration of us as Muslims and everybody else, indeed is the reason that people name their children, because they name their children because they want to promote that character.
A character that's needed today more than ever.
Because of the genocide, because of the selfishness that the world is going, because of the way that we are ignoring even our environment and everything else.
And while some say the trend is not always faith-driven, that pop culture and famous sports personalities of the same name may also play their part, others say in the end it all boils down to Prophet Muhammad himself.
We think about the Prophet first. This is the main reason people putting their names afterward, and after that it's the celebrities or any other names you can consider it off. But for me as a believer, I will say that it's just my love with my Prophet.
Other Islamic boy names, Yusuf and Yahya, among them, have also risen in the rankings compared with last year, reinforcing the belief that Islam is not only the UK's, but the world's fastest-growing religion. Saeed Pariza, London.
Over 2,000 Muslim scholars from across the Islamic world in Tehran, on the occasion of the 1500th birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, all here to participate in the 39th International Islamic Unity Conference, an annual international event marking the birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad that aims to foster unity and solidarity among Muslims worldwide.
It is a great occasion. So many people from across the world are here assembled, and this seminar is held at a very crucial time.
Not surprisingly, in any such gathering, the ongoing genocidal war in Gaza taking center stage.
There is an aggression against Gaza. So this is a time to be united, Muslim Ummah.
Participants consider this year's conference a platform to condemn the recent Israeli-American acts of aggression in the region.
I want to express my condemnation of all kinds of attacks carried out by Israel and the United States against Iran. If the Islamic world and Muslims were truly united, they would never have dared to do such a thing.
This is a very important conference and for the unity and the silatul rahim of Muslims of the Ummah all over the world. And I hope what transpires from this is action among the Muslim world for to save the Ummah. Starting with the one in Gaza.
Participants are also calling for prioritizing trade among Muslim countries and a complete boycott of Western goods that are fueling the Israeli regime's genocide in Gaza.
All of Muslims should start to have their own domestic product and buy each other products within Muslim countries and stop buying products from the West.
Today, the Muslim world is facing numerous challenges, and the participants share the belief that ties among the Muslim Ummah and unity among Muslim nations is the only solution.
With the presence of Muslim scholars and intellectuals from around the world, the 39th International Islamic Unity Conference has begun in Tehran, running from September 8th to 10th. Ali Reza Akbari, Tehran.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
This is
for a better life.
For a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, "I have been sent to complete noble manners."
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. The wise man sees the value in every heart, whether it beats in silence or in the song. Peace and blessings, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of For a Better Life. This is Nahid, having the honor of hosting you on this episode. where we explore values that enrich our lives and strengthen our communities. Today, we will reflect on a subtle but profound virtue, respecting people with different characteristics, whether they are introverted or extroverted, quiet or outspoken, contemplative or energetic. Respect is not only a social requirement, it's the reflection of a spiritual awareness, recognizing that Allah has created each soul with unique strengths and needs. But before we start, let me set a situation into your minds. I remember school and those kids who were always sitting in the last row of the chairs, and those kids who were less talkative and were so quiet, didn't want to enter any discussion or challenges at school. Did we consider them as valuable, as worthy of those people around who were so talkative, active, and energetic? Unfortunately, some of us might have the answer of no. I mean, the most talkative person was always valued, while the less talkative and quiet girl or boy who was sitting in a class was not considered with the same scale, on the same scale of being valuable. That's why today we're going to consider this issue on the Islamic point of view, and at the same time, the literary, wonderful eyes of Saadi Shirazi. Well, Saadi in Bustan narrates a story of two travelers, one calm and thoughtful, the other lively and expressive. Both were judged by others as better or worse until a wise elder pointed out, "Every soul has its season, and every temperament its treasure. To honor one is to honor the divine." This story reminds us that differences are not defects. They are divine designs meant to complement the richness of life. The Holy Book of Quran emphasizes the dignity and uniqueness of every human being in this way. "We created you and diverse tribes and nations so that you may know one another." Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam had said, "Whoever guides another to goodness has a reward equal to the one who follows it." Imam Ali alayhi salam instructed, "Do not belittle anyone, for every soul has its own worth in the eye of Allah." So recognizing and honoring differences is therefore both a spiritual and social duty. Now, introverts often reflect deeply, value quiet spaces, and recharge through solitude. Extroverts may draw energy from interaction, thrive in social settings, and express themselves freely. Respecting introverts means giving them space, listening without pressure, and valuing thoughtful contribution. Respecting the extroverts, on the other hand, can mean appreciating their energy, including them in shared activities, and acknowledging their expressive ideas. Islam encourages consideration for every temperament, an echo of the Prophet's teachings to treat all with gentleness. Now, what are some ways and how can I improve my way of connection towards different groups of people? We're going to go for a short break, then come back to talk about those practical ways which can help us all.
ارتباطتون رو با خدا قوی کنید. در مسائل دینی به نقاط عقلانی و ظریف.
Improve your connection with God. Pay attention to logical and detailed points in religious issues and learn them from great masters. There are sentiments in religion, but they rely on deep ideality and deep thought. This thought must be learned.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Welcome back to For a Better Life, where we are talking about different groups of people, be it introverted or extroverted, and how can we value them with the same scale. How can we have no discriminations between the different characteristics of people? Well, the first practical way can be to listen actively. tailoring our approach to each personality, or avoiding labels. Many people just simply label others as shy, outgoing, quiet, extroverted, but we shouldn't dismiss the quietness as weakness or talkativeness as friendliness. So this is very important that we need to stop ourselves as teachers, as co-workers, as colleagues, as friends or classmates who are seeing other people with other characteristics as well. The other way can be encouraging without pressure, respecting their pace of engagement and celebrating their strength, recognizing what each brings to the team, family or community. And of course, practicing patience. Differences require understanding and humility. Through these actions, we cultivate a society of acceptance, a society of empathy and cooperation. Now, Saadi recounts a scholar who noticed that a silent student often observed more than those who spoke constantly. Recognizing his insight, the teacher honored his perspective. Similarly, Imam Ali alayhi salam treated each companion according to their strength, nurturing diversity while maintaining justice and equality. These examples all show us that respect is adaptive, mindful, and compassionate. Now, respecting the differences is not abstract. It appears in everyday life, like allowing our colleagues their preferred working style, like listening to our family members without rushing them, like acknowledging our friends' way of celebrating or grieving, or even simpler, avoiding the imposing of our style on other people. By respecting differences, we honor Allah's wisdom in creation and strengthen the human being bonds. As we know, whatever responsibility, whatever job position that we have, as Muslims, we have this responsibility of staying connected, staying brothers and sisters with each other. So my brothers and sisters, please remember in whatever position that you are responsible for the others' feeling, for the others' vibes while they are at the workplace, that you are also there. We can create a better place for them by just simply looking at them and considering them, by trying to be in their shoes, to feel the way they are feeling. If I'm an introverted working with you as my teacher, and you are not recognizing the kind of silence that I need to go deeper into my thoughts and find even more creative ways than my classmates, then this is a problem here. You as a teacher are going to invest some time on understanding me and trying me to improve as part of the Islamic society. As we conclude, remember, every personality is a unique thread in the tapestry of society. Introverted or extroverted, reflective or expressive, each has a role and a purpose. Saadi wrote, "Do not despise the quiet soul, for silence often speaks wisdom beyond words." Similarly, in the same way, extroverted voices, when guided by virtue, illuminate the hearts and unite the communities. So, dear listeners, let your respect extend to every soul you encounter. Greet introverts with patience, embrace extroverts with warmth, and honor all with sincere appreciation. As we part, I leave you this thought. May your heart hold patience, your ears hear with care, your words uplift every spirit, and your understanding of characters echo like a gentle wind of peace. With that, I say, I wish you great connections with every person that you are working with, you are seeing, or you are meeting with. I wish you understanding of different characteristics, and I wish you will be well understood by those who see you with whatever feature that you have. And with the wishes of the best Islamic characteristics to be built in our personalities, until our next episode, I wish you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The only thing that remains is that feeling of warmth in your heart that will always be there, be there.
confiscated, when crimes are ignored, when massacre if you deny. God save the Palestine. We will fight for freedom. God save the Palestine.
I drove 5 hours from Tehran to Gilan province, up north by the Caspian Sea. Unlike most people, I did not stay in Rasht, which is the capital of this province, but decided to spend most of my time in countryside and explore the less seen parts of Gilan. This city, which is also known as village in historical contexts, is surrounded by beautiful forests and mountains, which are very often covered in fog. What I see through fog is an ancient village, dates back to around 1006 AD.
Traveling through Gilan province, I got to this historical village called Mosule.
Mosule is mostly famous because there's no vehicular traffic and because of the way it's constructed, where the pathways or roads are on the rooftops of the houses below. But there are way more characteristics to make this village a unique place on earth and a must-see attraction in Iran.
شهر از ابتدای پیدایش خودش سیستم فاضلاب داره، در پنجره دوجه داره داره، اصلا کوچه بنبست نداره، همه خونه های قدیمی ضد زلزله است، همه خونه های قدیمی با تونل های زیرزمینی به هم وصل میشه.
But why would people settle here and build a community on this forested hillside 1050 meters above the sea level? Next thing to do in Mosule is to check out the roofless bazaar, where they sell handmade goods like knitted dolls, alongside with traditional bags, shoes, and many other souvenirs, both useful and decorative. By the way, Tahir, the guy that I talked to, who's an expert of Mosule, apparently he runs a confectionery of special cookies of Gilan, which are very delicious, and there are stories behind them.
Sweets are very special because they're being used in like very special ceremonies. Like this one actually is only for wedding.
Rich culture, unique architecture, and eye-catching natural landscape of Mosule attracts thousands of tourists from all over the world to this magnificent place. The young Slovenian couple who are visiting Iran for the first time. The Italian adventurers who drove their motorcycles all the way from Rome to Mosule.
We decided to leave from Italy to Iran 2 years ago.
Wow.
And then we took our motorcycle. We came through a long trip through Greece, Turkey, and finally Iran.
We read about it in Lonely Planet, and also we heard about this place from our friends that already been here. And it's really a good contrast to the big crowded cities and the hot weather. It's a good relief.
When it comes to love and passion for Mosul, there is no difference between foreigners and Iranians. From artifacts of gallery to every building out there in the village, Mosul is filled with beauty, art, and tradition. Balconies decorated with colorful geranium plants, yellow clay-coated walls on most buildings, and hand-carved wooden windows being made locally here for decades. Cafes are packed with tourists and locals who sit down, relax, and share stories about places they have visited or planning to go in this great country.
After touring Mosul, a cup of Persian tea from Gilan province would definitely hit this spot, and here the nightlife starts.
I had a wonderful day here and can't wait for tomorrow to continue my trip exploring beautiful Gilan province. Shahryar Azimi for Iran.
Azerbaijan province. Kandovan is a small village in East Azerbaijan province in the northwest of Iran. It's a small stone village with a huge tourist attraction. The village is famous for its architecture and scenery. The houses are carved inside rocks and are in the shape of beehives drawn inside the mountain. Some of the rocky structures are more than 700 years old and are still inhabited. Houses are energy efficient, which means they need minimal supplemental heat during winter and remain cool in summer. The name of this beautiful village, Kandovan, comes from its architecture, which is like hives. The The stone village of Kandovan is an ideal place to relax and highly recommended for those seeking peace and comfort.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Good morning to you all. Greetings from Tehran, Iran. You are listening to Iran Radio, and I'm your presenter for the next hour. We start this hour's lineup with Let's Recite the Holy Quran. The program teaches eloquent recitation of the Holy Quran at level 2. That will be followed by our varied radio productions feature. Then it's time for our final program, this hour, Viewpoints. The program presents an analytical roundtable discussion of various political and social issues of the Islamic world today. Stay with us for the next hour.
Let's recite the Quran.
وإذا قرأت القرآن جعلنا بينك وبين الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة حجابا مستورا.
القرآن نور وبيان. القرآن هدي الإيمان. القرآن مسك الختام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners from all over the world listening to IRB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperations with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really glad that I have brothers Hassan, Hussein, Masoom, and Ali Nasir with me today in this session. Everyone, welcome. Inshallah, today we will practice Ayah 15, verse number 15, Surah Ar-Ra'd. On page 251. The second ayah on this page, right?
Yes.
So, brothers and sisters, hope you have the Quran with you. Please turn to page 251. Second ayah on this page, verse number 15, Surah Ar-Ra'd.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ولله يسجد من في السماوات والأرض طوعا وكرها وظلالهم بالغدو والآصال.
And to Allah prostrates whoever is within the heavens and the earth, willingly or by compulsion, and their shadows as well in the mornings and the afternoons.
Nice recitation, mashallah. Guys, this ayah tells us a very beautiful thing. Listen, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Listen, Allah Almighty says, ولله يسجد من في السماوات والأرض طوعا وكرها وظلالهم بالغدو والآصال. This is amazing. Do you see there is a sajda sign at the end of this ayah?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
We'll talk about it. So, first let's say what Allah Almighty says here. Allah says, to Allah prostrates whoever there is in the heavens and the earth, willingly or unwillingly. Alright?
Yes.
Willingly or unwillingly. For example, we have the free will. Human beings have the free will, right? But angels don't have. The jinns have the free will. So it contains both of us, okay? Both groups. All the groups of those who have wisdom. Understood? Now, one question. We are in this universe or no? Are we in this universe or no?
Yes.
Yes. So if Allah Almighty says that all the universe, whatever is in the like in similar verses, okay, not in this verse. In similar verses, Allah Almighty uses the word ma, which is used for anything.
Everything.
Living or non-living, wise or not wise, okay? For all of them. Allah says, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ, for example. Allah uses the word ma, okay? Which means everything in the universe praises Allah Almighty. Then what is that sign at the end? The sajda sign, what does it tell us? The kind of doom sign or the sajda sign. What does it tell you?
You shouldn't do a sajda.
Should do a sajda here,
it's
right?
It's optional.
It's optional?
Yes.
Is it optional?
What? No.
Is it optional or it's mustahab?
Mustahab.
Do you think optional and mustahab have the same meaning?
No, of course not.
It's better to do sajda.
Ah, it's better.
It's like
so one... Well, look, we have two options.
It's
that the one of them is more preferred.
Yes.
Yes.
No? So, mustahab means?
Recommended.
Recommended. Better to do that. And because there are reasons behind it, okay? So Allah Almighty does not force you or does not make it wajib or obligatory upon you. But Allah says, if you want to get more closer to the perfection, do this. Alright? See, Allah Almighty doesn't have a lot of wajib prayers. Daily prayers, mayyit prayer, ayat prayer, these are the wajib prayers. Yes?
Yes.
Allah Almighty say, you have to do. But how many recommended prayers we have?
Many.
Too many.
Yes.
They all are what? For those who want to get to perfection faster and faster and easier. Alright? And sooner. Understood or no? So,
yes.
Yeah, that's it. So, mustahab means recommended. Wajib means obligatory.
Obligatory.
And, for example, haram means?
Forbidden.
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 We have makruh.
Mubah.
Makruh and mubah. Makruh means?
It's better
to do. Better not to do.
Yes.
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 And mubah means?
No,
it's optional.
Yes.
Yes.
It's optional.
Optional.
Allah Almighty does not reward you for it or punishes you.
Yes.
But if you do a recommended action, Allah rewards you. But if you do a makruh thing, action, Allah Almighty does not punish you. Does not punish you. Okay? But Allah says... sometimes the ulama say that the thawab or the reward is less. Better to do mustahab things to get more reward. If we compare. Or sometimes, really, it doesn't suit you to do this. Okay?
As a mu'min? Or?
Yeah. Or wajib is, of course, it's what you have to do, and of course Allah rewards you as well. Haram, you don't have to do, and of course if you do, Allah Almighty punishes you. All right?
Yes.
Except if you misuse Allah's mercy. if you like tell yourself that Allah is merciful, Allah is merciful. No, bro, don't deceive yourself, okay? He is merciful, of course. I'm inviting you towards the mercy of Allah Almighty. But you have your understanding as well that He is punishing also. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah. That's it. This sign tells you that you are recommended to prostrate to Allah Almighty. Make a sajda. Alright?
Yes.
It's not a must, but better to do. So, and also, it's not right away. You can do it later. Okay? But we have wajib sajda also in the Quran. That whenever you read the ayah, if you see this sign, you have to what? Prostrate to Allah Almighty. Right away, you have to do the sajda. There are four wajib sajda in the Quran. And Surah, Fussilat, verse number 37. Surah Najm, verse number 62, Surah Sajda Hamim, Sajda itself, verse 15, and Surah Al-Alaq at the very end,
the last
Ayah 19. So yes, these sajdas that you have, they are wajib. The rest of the sajda that you see in any part of the Quran, they are mustahab. Thank you. That's it, this ayah. I want Ali Nasser to recite this one, this ayah. Inshallah, we'll explain the tajweed points. Ali Nasser, please.
Yes. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Walillahi yasjudu man fis samawati wal ardi taw'an wa karhan wa dhilaluhum bil ghudwi wal asal.
Ahsantum. Ahsantum. Walillahi yasjudu man fis samawat. How do you read it?
Man fis
samawat. Hiddenly pronounce the noon, yes? You hide it. Man fis samawati wal ardi ar. Tafkhim ar-ra, right? Because it's preceded by a fatha sound. Taw'an karhan. How do you read them?
Taw'an.
Uh-huh, it's followed by waw. Taw'an wa kar.
How?
Yes. Rule idgham. With ghunna or without?
With ghunna.
With ghunna. And you stretch also the sound. Wadhi. It's a heavy sound. It's not wadhilal. Wadhi. Wadhilal. Mim. Sakin. Followed by the letter ba.
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa. With the letter?
Mim.
وَظِلَالُهُمْ بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ صَاد صَال صَال. So, it's a heavy letter. Good. I will recite this ayah, listen everyone, and then repeat. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله.